This is the Saxo Market Call, the daily financial markets podcast, across asset classes and around the world.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It's Monday, 3rd of July, 2023. Markets really ending the quarter and month on a high note. Big rally in the S&P 500. We're seeing this pretty much copied around the world. We have likely a strong session ahead of us in Europe, at least at the get-go, and Japan. After a strong Tanken survey overnight, we saw it poking at the cycle highs here, multi-year highs as well. We've talked a lot about very easy financial conditions. Have some more thoughts on that in a minute. But Peter, this was quite a way to end the month and quarter, and an interesting setup, I suppose, going into earnings season in a couple weeks here.
Yeah, quite a spectacular ending on Friday, up 1.2% in the S&P 500 futures, highest level since April 2022, 38% increase in the first half of the year for NASDAQ 100 index. That's the biggest move in the first half year of the year in that index history. You can always tweak the data points, and then maybe it was not the biggest move over a 6 month period, but on that calendar period metric, it was pretty a sizable move. And if you look at slide two across the theme baskets, there was a lot of movement around the bubble stocks, and it was just basically the whole market was just rallying. Animal spirits expectations are going very high. I think going into this Q2 earnings season, which starts up in 10 days from now, the U.S. banks will kick it off. And I'm really, really excited to see whether companies can really, because in Q1, we had very low expectations, and a lot of the companies exceeded that very low bar of expectations. But this time around, it's completely flip-flopped. We had very high expectations going into the Q2 earnings season. And I just wonder whether the companies can follow up on that. It will be very interesting to see. Otherwise, it's a quiet day ahead for equities, I think, and with not a full trading session in the U.S. cash market. So I'll just quickly note on slide three, the big story that came out overnight, Tesla announced and BYD announced their Q2 delivery numbers for their battery electric vehicles. For BYD, was also their hybrids. But you can see the numbers here. The EV battle is really heating up, with Tesla and BYD being by far the two biggest companies in this fast-growing industry. Tesla's numbers were up 83% year-on-year. And recently, we have also seen more demand because of that, demand coming in for lithium carbonate, which is used for these lithium ion batteries. The prices have bounced back to around 300,000 yuan per metric ton there. So I'm very curious to see in Tesla's Q2 results how much this mix that has shifted towards the very cheap models, the Model 3 and the Model Y SUV, how much they're impacting their margins, given also the prices potentially on batteries have gone up a little bit because they're so aggressive on the price. And I'm very curious to see how it also impacts the oil market here, because with these blistering growth rates, for sure it has an impact on the oil market.
Yeah, but also wondering, they've built quite a production machine here, to say the least, for Teslas. Could be a question as well. Is the demand there for the potential supply and the output that they can come with here? A good friend of mine flagged an article in the UK talking about just the unavailability on the infrastructure side for charging, and the anxiety around owning an electric vehicle, not being able to find a charger, is dampening demand and the growth rates there for the first time in a while. So not the case necessarily in other places, but just something I would flag as well as a concern. And then, just as I noted at the top of the introduction, there some thoughts on the key. One of the keys that is driving this is that liquidity has not proven at all to be the problem that was anticipated as the Treasury was meant to be building its general account. We've talked through this a little bit. I just wanted to make a final note of this for the moment, because we did have a quarter end, and just to contrast that with some of the previous quarter ends with the Fed's repo facility, which is going to be an interesting part of whether liquidity continues to be generous in the coming quarter. Because if the Treasury is finished building back its account, and on slide four, I have that general account there on the right, the notion is that around $400 to $500 billion is potentially enough in terms of rebuilding its reserves. And we're basically there at the $400 billion level with the last reading. And then on the left, we have the Fed's repo facility. And look at that quarter end. There was a $100 billion jump on Friday. This fits with the pattern into quarter end, as I noted there on the previous, quarters. But obviously, this will likely disappear in the coming day or two. And then the pace of that drawdown is essentially how much liquidity this is offering into the market. There are some other aspects around treasury issuance, et cetera, that Altea can help enlighten us on, but just shows how the different that look or that account looks, the repo facility, relative to prior quarters. And noting as well, as we did last week, waiting for the next weekly reading on the Chicago Fed's Financial Conditions Index, which are nearing the most accommodative level since right around the time that the Fed began its rate hiking cycle in early 2022. Let's jump over, though, to the commodities market. The grains are, to say the least, we've seen a bit of a roller coaster ride there. That corn chart is, I think, one of the most remarkable charts I've seen in just about anything of late.
Yes, and it's just, what we saw on Friday just concluded what was already a phenomenal, crazy month in the grain market. We had that strong rally at the start of June where drought just spread across key growing areas, not only in the US but also elsewhere, and that triggered a massive amount of short covering from funds, and we raced higher. And then just within the last 10 days, rain was starting to be forecast, and rain is actually starting to have an impact on conditions, at least we believe so. And then came Friday, where the USDA released their latest update on how they see the planted acreage for the US this year, and it was just a massive surprise. The analysts got it totally wrong. Corn acreage was up 2.2 million acres. Soybeans was down 4.2, and basically that triggered a 6+% rally in soybeans, 6+% drop in corn. And the soy corn ratio spiked higher by the most on record. So trading these conditions is extremely difficult. And I think now we will just simply have to watch the incoming data in terms of crop conditions and the outlook for production this year. But it just highlights how incredibly volatile this time of year can be. And that was just something. Yeah, as you said, I haven't seen anything like it in years. And adding to the volatility, as we talk about on a regular basis, is the speculative interest. As funds came into June with a short, they built quite a decent long, and now they're obviously getting forced back out again, and that's creating some of these extreme moves. So where the real level should be remains to be seen.
Yeah, and then Peter talking about forward demand for crude oil. Like, I guess it's a little bit like the yield curves, I presume, where the oil market is. They're assuming at some point, you could argue the yield curve is partly a bet on disinflation, but it's also a bet on growth coming down. It must be behind some of this sort of suppressed crude oil prices. And you've got some thoughts and a couple charts there on slide 7.
Yeah, I think first of all, the oil buyer has been receiving a lot of information during the past couple of months, but the end result is basically the price is going nowhere. The dotted line I put in here on slide 7 is basically the average price seen during May and June, and basically that's where we're trading this morning, just above $75. So we're not really going anywhere fast. We're still in. Looking at that chart, John, you're probably a better technician than I am. Obviously, we have a recent solid floor. We've got a downtrend. Obviously, this will run out of steam sooner or later. We cannot continue here forever. So we will see a break this quarter that we just entered. And it just also, we're calling it a make or break quarter because really we need to see some of the worries or concerns in the market start to be removed, and I need to see the impact of Saudi production cut on the supply side. But the market is still in backwardation. That's the top right, both Brent and WTI. So we're not the recent contango in Brent has disappeared once again. So so the market is still looking for some tightness over the coming months to support the prompt price. But overall, I favor the upside, but I also listen to what Peter says, and demand eventually will start to taper off. Whether it's going to be anytime soon, that remains to be seen, and how the suppliers are going to react to that as well also remains a key driver for prices. But for now, look for a break this quarter. I favor to the upside, but based on these strong numbers we have from the US, and also believe that China will have to step up their efforts to support the economy.
All right. Yeah. Meantime, technically, it is stuck dead in the water. All right. I'm going to roll back to the FX slide on slide five in a way as a lead into the economic calendar, because the dollar, to my mind, actually looks relatively firm given what financial conditions are looking like. Normally, you would expect the dollar to be weaker in such a state of financial conditions, part of that being held up by Fed expectations. But a big question mark over the dollar this week. Friday weakened sharply. Could be some end of quarter, end of month effects there. Could also be that people were more concerned about the PCE than I realized in this relatively benign print and slight miss on the year-on-year at 4.6 rather than 4.7% for the core was marginal. Whatever. I think we need to find our legs here this week. We also have the frustration here at the start of the week of a U.S. holiday on Tuesday, so tomorrow, and a shortened session today for equities. So we're really going to have to get through Friday's data, and that, of course, is the employment data up on Friday for June. We have an ISM manufacturing today, and on Thursday, the ISM services. But on slide five there, I also put the Aussie dollar chart just to remind us where we've come from and where we are. So that big erasure of the prior rally, a real disappointment there for Aussie dollar bulls, as we're still frustrated by the situation in China and waiting for key commodity prices to show more firmness, I think, to support the Australian side. The RBA is sort of divided the market versus what analysts are expecting. So we have a pretty thin pricing of a rate hike tonight by the market, 15 to 20% odds, whereas analysts are apparently around 50-50 for a move today rather than at the August meeting, which is more where the market is pricing higher odds of a move. But still, it's all about this last hike or the maybe one more, et cetera. It's not, you know, there's no drama, major drama expected besides the decision itself. So Aussie looking pretty heavy there, at least versus the US dollar, still below the 200-day moving average. It's going to take a lot of work if the upside is supposed to be the side that it heads to next. And that pretty much wraps it up for the calendar today. As noted, that holiday in the US tomorrow, FOMC minutes up on Wednesday, but it's at the back end of the week there with all of the U.S. employment data that we'll be looking for some signals, both at the long end of the U.S. yield curve, where we saw the big pop on Thursday, but no follow through Friday, and for the U.S. dollar itself, and I think as well for liquidity and everything as we go into earnings season. So that's a wrap for today, and we'll be back tomorrow with the Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter @SaxoMarketCall or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.